610 Sports Slam Time. I'm Kramer Sansone here for this next 30 minutes in order to get you some wrestling news. Yes, this is going to be a wrestling-type-oriented podcast that's going to showcase all the what's happening around the wrestling world, some reviews around, say, WWE with Monday Night Raw, maybe a SmackDown when AEW comes around. We'll have some AEW stuff going on. But for today, we're going to go on to Monday Night Raw review. Then we're going to hit on some little bit of, is WWE making us feel like we are not very good fans, making us feel stupid? Some of the AEW roster breakdown, Fyter Fest coming up, some news around, and independent wrestling. Yes, support independent wrestling. And let's get into all of the action so far. So Monday Night Raw, I'm going to go with all the matches that have happened. There was a five-way elimination between Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley versus Cesaro versus The Miz, also versus Ricochet. As I came into this match watching it, with the final probably 5 minutes of the match, where was The Miz and Ricochet going at it with Samoa Joe at ringside looking to see who's going to actually face him for the United States Championship, to see who is actually well worthy of him, of somebody actually going up against him at the next upcoming pay-per-view of Stomping Grounds. But Ricochet did pick up the win. It looked like The Miz the entire time was just playing coil outside of the ring and making sure he's finding his time, getting in there, getting the right thing. But is Ricochet the worthy opponent to go up against Samoa Joe? Probably not right now. And there's a reason why that he should not actually be the opponent for Samoa Joe, because it seems like Ricochet is going to be in this match for the fact of being a, you wouldn't call it a spot monkey unless in a one-on-one match. Maybe if they ended up adding this as a ladder match, that would be the spot monkey into this. But it doesn't benefit either of the opponents as they're trying to build up Ricochet in becoming the next big thing way too quick, as they already botched his call-up earlier before when WrestleMania started. They should have honestly put him up when the day after WrestleMania, yada, yada, yada. That was way too far ago in order to try to change anything to happen right now. But it's just right now, it's not the time for Ricochet. He's probably going to get taken out easily by Samoa Joe. Yes, put Samoa Joe in a match. Make sure he gets into an opponent that is two times too small than him. He's going to pretty much work him and possibly have the effect of with Mustafa Ali, as they had that thing, that little rivalry they had, but now Mustafa Ali is out of the picture of most part for everything. But the winner of that fatal five-way was Ricochet. We'll see at Stomping Grounds what happens, what comes through with all of this, and see if anything comes out of it. Maybe Ricochet wins the match. Maybe it's just a little different, little bonehead move by Vince McMahon right now to try to get the people that the fans want over really quick. And right now, calling people up, such as Tommaso Ciampa, then you also had Johnny Gargano, who went back down to NXT because Ciampa got hurt. Then you have Aleister Black doing nothing right now. Then Ricochet's the only person out of those four core group people that came up is actually doing anything. We'll get more to the other guys later. Speaking of people who were called up way too early, the Viking Raiders came out to defeated some local talent. That ended really quickly. As much to do as just a little squash match. This is the first time they've been on Raw since a month ago, I believe. So it's kind of odd to see them actually coming back, as they were trying to do like a little program with Rowan and Daniel Bryan, but nothing came from that. After that, I've enjoyed this segment so far so much with WWE with the 24/7 title, because it's giving, I don't know if it's creative freedom to R-Truth, because R-Truth's been in the business for way, way, way too long. It's all, but he loves it. He enjoys it. I love what he's doing with this 24/7 title, calling it the European Championship. He's I think he's held the 24/7 title the most, and he's also the not consecutive days, but total of days of holding it, he does lead that, and I hope that stays true with him, as it's just funny, because him and Carmella dressed up as they were, I think they were dressed up as like the 1880s, 1800s style of dressing up, where it was pretty funny. He ended up making it out as others who are wanting that title came to him and kicked him out pretty much. And one person that fell victim of the 24/7 title curse was Robert Roode, well, Bobby Roode, however you want to call him. I think he was the very first one. He ended up getting pinned by R-Truth, and that's how that saga began. But I feel like he's a main event talent person. I know he's a main event caliber person, and he's being utilized completely different. He does have a sweet looking mustache though, but it's just not working right now with him as a 24/7 card. I'm not a big fan of it, and I want him in the main event scene as soon as possible. There was a Sammy and KO show that came up next following that, as that ended up bringing out Baron Corbin to pretty much talk about who's going to be their, be the him and Seth Rollins match guest referee. That brought out EC3, who as on the way coming out, got attacked by Seth Rollins with a chair. Seth Rollins throughout the night was hitting people with a chair left and right. But this these three guys in the ring, Sammy, Kevin Owens, and Baron Corbin, were all set up against a New Day match. So New Day did defeat them. Really was a throwaway match, honestly. After that, the Usos defeated Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. Before the match, they saw AJ Styles talk to them, talking about, hey, let's pretty much jumpstart their careers on Monday Night Raw. But losing to the Usos didn't help, as AJ Styles at the end of things pretty much said, hey, you guys should not have done a too sweet during that time. Should have done something else. It's a pretty silly bonehead move there by the guys, as maybe it's a second coming to bring in the Bullet Club faction into WWE, as there's a big, huge faction war going on in NXT. Maybe bring a faction war to the main roster to freshen some things up, see some new things happen, play out. But having a Bullet Club-esque WWE right now, it may jumpstart the careers of Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, which I am very fond of the Good Brothers, and they're actually very, very good talent, and they deserve a lot from what they've done, especially with Luke Gallows. He was, man, this is Festus from back in 2007. This is a guy that's done a lot to try to get somewhere, and he's very talented in the ring, and it shows when he actually does wrestle. It's just they need to bring more to the table, and it's just very annoying that WWE is not using them properly like they should. After that tag team match, another tag team match happened between the Iconics versus Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, as the Iconics won via DQ by Bayley. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross won via disqualification because Bayley interfered by pushing down Alexa Bliss on the outside, pretty much attacking her. They won the match, but I'm pretty sure it was for the titles, as the Iconics are still the champions since their win at WrestleMania. But that's going to set up still a feud between Bayley and Alexa Bliss, probably for the SmackDown Championship. Now, there was a little segment at this point in Monday Night Raw where it was Shane McMahon pretty much talking with, of course, Drew McIntyre, also with The Revival, as we all know that Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon is bound to happen. And my question is, do we want this to happen? As right now, it's not like we are being shoved down our throats, with Shane McMahon being the best in the world gimmick. It's so annoying. I think they're just trying to not ruin, but get rid of the CM Punk chance, which that will never, never happen, as he already came out saying he was the best in the world when he was during his time in WWE. It's not very fun to watch WWE right now because of the fact of we see Shane McMahon on Monday nights and on Tuesday nights constantly with Raw and SmackDown, and he's still that same gimmick, bringing in, oh, I'm the best in the world, I can do this, I can do that. It's so, so annoying, and it's just a very tasteless thing right now, as we're going to see Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon. And I've heard rumors that it's going to be for the WWE title. Yes, that means Shane McMahon's going to defeat Kofi Kingston sometime along the line before SummerSlam, it's not a good look for WWE, and it should not happen. But that's Vince's control, and yep, having your boy do something and keep pushing it to the limits. I'm not saying he's not a bad wrestler. He's a very good wrestler. He's one of the few people in WWE that can tell a story in the ring, and we're just getting it shoved right down our throats as Roman Reigns is going to be that potential opponent. As we've already seen, that already happened at Super Showdown, where that match pretty much happened. Shane McMahon won, but not saying it's going to happen again. It probably will happen again, but this time it's Roman going to be winning. So the Firefly Funhouse segment came on next, as this is probably one of the most over gimmicks so far in WWE, is with Bray Wyatt doing his impersonation of the little kids type style TV show in order to get him over, but just have a different look on his character. He's done a very excellent job, and I actually can't wait to when he's actually going to be coming back to wrestling. He's one of the guys, one of the few people that fans do and still enjoy it. Like, they do enjoy him. They want him to come back, be the best that he can be, and have, honestly, one of a comeback story career, because ever since he lost the title at WrestleMania to Randy Orton, he's really been nothing. He hasn't really found traction again. He's one of the very few people that have even had many matches. I know he got put in that that feud with Matt Hardy towards last year around this time. Actually 2 years around this time. It's been that long. It's just, this is a very good gimmick for him, and it's gonna work. I feel like this is one of the very few gimmicks that Vince has a hand in that's actually gonna work. I know the New Day I don't think they have their promos wrote out, because it seems like every single time Big E has some joke about Charlotte Flair anytime he's out in the ring. We saw that when he came back last week. But it's just another thing that gives more creative freedom to the wrestlers, and we'll see how that actually works out. Then at the main event match, we saw Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan. All chaos, like, it broke loose, as at one point Daniel Bryan had the upper hand, and then Seth Rollins threw Bryan out of the ring, and he did a suicide dive to where he hit him once, went back in the ring, tried to do it again, but he was caught by Rowan, and he threw him on the ground. That's called a disqualification. And then we saw guys like the New Day come out there to help protect Seth Rollins, because Daniel Bryan and Rowan were just going at it and just fighting them. So they came out. Then after that, we saw the Revival come out there, along with, I don't think it was Cesaro. It was just the Revival and a few others, probably Drew McIntyre. I can't really remember. But towards the end of it, the match restarted to where there's no outside interference. So the match did start. Seth Rollins ended up winning. This was his first win against Daniel Bryan, as they were trying to do a tail of the tape thing, where it was the head-to-head history where Daniel Bryan has won all three matches he's had held up against Seth Rollins. So, was this a good time for this match to happen? Because this is a pay-per-view style type of match that'd be like, oh, Seth Rollins never beat Daniel Bryan, but now he's actually going to fight him on Monday Night Raw and get a clean victory. It was a very anticlimactic thing to where they could have held off on this. Because at the end of the match, you see Baron Corbin come out there and pretty much hit him with a chair. That's what Seth Rollins was doing the entire night. This was a terrible, terrible spot. And this match should have happened on a pay-per-view, to where, yes, the actual ending shouldn't have happened like that. The actual ending should have had Baron Corbin interfere once again and the match be another disqualification, but that didn't happen. So they pretty much screwed anything that they wanted to do along the lines of Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins feud that could have been a very better story told of, like, oh, Seth Rollins never beat Daniel Bryan. Can he do it at this Sunday at Stomping Grounds? That'd have been a lot better match than him versus Baron Corbin. Come on now. So that was your Monday Night Raw. I'll say it out of 5 stars. It wasn't a very bad Raw once going back over and rewatching things. I'll give it a 2 out of 5, though. Still very low. It's Monday Night Raw and Tuesday Night SmackDown has not really done much. It finally went under the 1.9 million viewership, as that is one of the lowest it's ever been in forever. This is the lowest it's been. Wrestling in WWE has been going down. But there's also another reason why to that, and that's because the question I'm going to ask all of you, if you want to reply in the comments or do whatever you want with it, is does WWE treat their fans like they're idiots or imbeciles, or they just don't understand what they're doing? I personally do. I really do think that, because they're going to be having better talent out there and not doing the same copy and paste stuff. First off, Monday Night Raw is way too long. 3 hours is way too long for wrestling, a wrestling show, to watch that. And then all you see is about, out of 3 hours, you see about 30 minutes of wrestling. This is a wrestling show. That's why one of the things I like about the Fox deal with SmackDown is you're going to see a lot more wrestling. And that's something that the fans need, the fans want. And that's what they're going to be getting elsewhere in WWE. That's why I'm ready for the Fox deal to happen, because we're going to see a lot more wrestling, a lot less talking, which, I mean, you need to tell a story. You need to have some type of heat on some wrestlers and get a thing going. Yes, I know there's a lot more promo works to go on, but just do a one-minute promo clip, a one-minute backstage thing, or a two-minute backstage thing. You don't need a 15-minute segment in order to get things the proper way, or I guess that's what you want to call it. You don't need that long to get something over. Like, oh, I'm going to come out here and say, oh, I'm going to challenge you. That does not need to take 15 minutes. That's what it usually does, and especially with SmackDown. SmackDown's 2 hours long. You'll probably get about 30 minutes, which is nice. 2 hours long, about 30 minutes of wrestling. But half the time, there's a commercial during the wrestling parts, and it's very, very annoying. And that's what people want to see. They don't care about the stories. They want to see the wrestling. I know it's different from being at a live event than being watching it on TV. It's completely different. You see a lot more action. There's actually dark matches beforehand. There's matches after. There's post matches. The post main event matches. When the TV's off, it's a lot better. It's so weird to say. It's like indie matches are a lot better. When, I mean, honestly, we don't know how the indies go because there's really not much streaming the indies. I do like the fact how Twitch is partnered with Anthem to where, well, Impact, to where it gets things going like that. So that's very helpful and very nice. But still, it's very annoying. The WWE does treat their fans like they're idiots, and I can't stand it. Funny that we have that playing right now is because that's what we're going to get back on, is getting on to the Elite. Yes, that's All Elite Wrestling, as that is founded by, well, paid by Tony Khan with the Young Bucks, and you also have Cody Rhodes along with that. And yeah, it's just a big new thing coming on to the pro wrestling scene. Is this not a independent live, an indie promotion, as I mean, you could say it is. It's just founded. It's also going to be in, I think it's October or September. September or October. It'll be on TNT, which is a very good cable network. The last time wrestling was on TNT was the WCW days, and we know what happened with that, with WWE taking over and pretty much buying out that. As over the roster a little bit, as there's some people that may not know who all these people are. There's some people I don't even still know. As we'll go with it, I think there's 46 wrestlers on the Elite as an All Elite Wrestling. We'll start off with Adam Page, who's a BTE member, as that's their YouTube series, BTE being the Elite. Then they have Angelico, which he has a tag team partner we'll get to later. Brandon Cutler, who was recently signed to All Elite. He has a thing on BTE where he was just, I mean, I would cry too if I got a contract to do what I enjoy and love 24/7, as he's as an indie wrestler now to a full timer, is awesome. Chris Jericho, which, I mean, there's not much to talk about with Chris Jericho. He's, I mean, I feel like he's the greatest wrestler in the world, still in his 50s. Another person that's in his 50s is Christopher Daniels. Also have Chuck Taylor, Seema, Cody, which is Cody Rhodes, Darby Allin, which Darby Allin, I recently watched some YouTube special over him, and this guy is crazy. He's a person that doesn't mind getting hurt. And yeah, it's gonna be fun watching some matches with him, with seeing a match with him and possibly Jimmy Havoc. Can be really fun. You have Dustin Rhodes is Cody Rhodes' brother, and Dusty Rhodes is their father. Get that all together. You have Phoenix, which is part of the Lucha Brothers. You have Frankie Kazarian. You have Jack Evans, which he's Angelico's tag team partner. Jimmy Havoc. Joey Janela, which I'm going to get to in a little bit with him. I also have John Moxley, Jungle Boy, Kenny Omega, Kip Sabin, Luchasaurus, Matt Jackson, MJF, Michael Nakazawa, Nick Jackson, Pac, which we're not sure, which that is the original Neville of WWE. Not for sure if he's actually going to stay with it, because he's in a dispute with some creative issues with All Elite Wrestling, which it's kind of odd to think that, oh, it's creative issues he's worried about, because he wanted to get out of that part in WWE. But we'll see when it comes to that. You also have Penta, which is part of the Lucha Brothers and with Phoenix. We have Peter Avalon. We have Private Party. I'm not sure. They're just a tag team together duo. We have Sammy Guevara, Scorpio Sky, Sean Spears, who is the perfect 10 himself from WWE, of Ty Dillinger, Sonny Kiss, The Dark Order, and Trent Beretta. That's the men's roster. Now going over to the women's roster with Allie, Awesome Kong, Bria Presley, Brandi Rhodes, Britt Baker, Haruko Shudi, Kelly Ray, Kylie Ray, excuse me, Levy Bates, Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and Sadie Gibbs. I know I've butchered a few of those names. Well, I'll understand them here shortly, as I do like the fact that the broadcasting team, you have Alex Marvez, Excalibur, Jim Ross, and Justin Roberts. Justin Roberts' voice as the announcer, ring announcer, is such amazing. I completely enjoy it. As coaches, it's Billy Gunn and Jerry Lynn, Billy Gunn. I love Billy Gunn. He's probably one of my favorites of all time to watch. I love his famouser. But All Elite Wrestling coming in, I'm ready for it. I'm excited for it. There's a lot more stuff going to be happening. Wins and losses matter in All Elite Wrestling. So, I mean, I know they say, oh, wrestling's scripted. Of course it's scripted. But I wonder who they're going to push. I mean, at times they're going to be pushing everybody. They're going to not be pushing somebody. There's going to be at least their job or talent in there. It's always something. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see how they're going to present it on TNT. It seems like it's going to be fun. As the very first show for All Elite Wrestling was All In, that sold out in 29 minutes. I think that's a little bit too long. It might be 28 or 27 minutes. The second show that was in Las Vegas was Double or Nothing, sold out, I believe, in 5 minutes, if that, or 4 minutes. And then recently the tickets just came out last week with All Out, and that sold out in 17 minutes. I had a few buddies that were in line in the virtual waiting room to get tickets, and the closest that got to it, he couldn't. He had to buy it from a scalper, which, I mean, I think it was like $500 for two tickets. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Scalpers get you. I didn't realize how much scalpers are trying to make that themselves a living by getting tickets and selling them even more expensive, which is ridiculous. But that's their job, and it's not mine. I don't have the patience for it. I feel like I'd be wasting money every single time and not being able to sell the tickets that I want to sell. But yeah, being the Elite, All Elite Wrestling, very, very fun. It's going to be great to see them coming in and probably not like going to war with WWE, because right now WWE is still at that top stage. But when All Elite Wrestling comes, all the people who are leaving WWE itself, including myself, I find myself leaning away towards that and watching more independent stuff, which is very fun, very entertaining. There's a lot to it. And I'm starting to like it a lot more. It's weird. I know the better talent, of course, is in WWE, and all that talent is now wanting to leave. We'll see how that goes here in the near future within the very few short months. We're in June right now. September is 3 months away. October is 4 months away. That's ridiculous. I'm excited. I'm ready for it. More wrestling is always better wrestling. But Fyter Fest is coming up here. That's another sponsor. It's a sponsored All Elite Wrestling event. As we've already know, one match that's in the books that's going to happen is Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Laredo Kid was just added to it just recently. He's one of the top upcoming high-flying luchadors in professional wrestling, as he's going to be teamed up with the Lucha Bros of Phoenix and Penta versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. It was supposed to be Pac supposed to be in that match with the Lucha Bros, but still they created differences, is leaning for him not to be there. So that's the Fyter Fest stuff going on. Now, go switch some gears back to the WWE real quick. And that's because the little heat between Matt Riddle, as he's getting backstage heat right now between him and his comments with Goldberg. As I'm going to get to what he said about that, as he was on a interview with TalkSport. He was quoted saying, "The thing for me is, and one of the reasons I was never a fan of Goldberg in the beginning when everybody was like, oh, he's so good. I was like, no, he's terrible. He's hurting people and there's nothing else. He just has 3-minute matches. So for me, I don't care how much money he makes. I'm just glad people were entertained. But stick to the wheelhouse, bro, and stop headbutting doors before you wrestle." He's also quoted later on saying, "I let them know before I signed." So that's him saying he let them know that he's going to speak his own mind and what he does and doesn't like. He said, "I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm very honest. And even with Matt Bloom, we've gotten to it where I'm like, hey, man, I think you're disrespecting me." And he's like, "What?" And we get into it, then we're better afterwards because I don't hold anything back. I think if I was a bad worker and then I did everything that I do, they'd be like, hate this guy. But all the talents like Triple H and Shawn Michaels, they know I'm legit as hell and they love it. So it's a good thing that Matt Riddle is backing himself up and he's understanding that, hey, I have my own opinion and everybody's opinions is not wrong. And he's going to speak his mind, which I truly enjoy, and he's a great talent to have on a roster, and it's a person that you should not say it's like Leo Rush. I mean, if he says something like this, you might have to be like, oh, okay, we're done with you because he has a bad history. Matt Riddle does not have a bad history. Matt Riddle is a very good wrestler, and he shows it into the ring night in and night out when he's actually booked. Another thing with WWE, Lars Sullivan is hurt. Dave Meltzer is quoted saying the knee injury to Lars Sullivan that kept him off SmackDown Tuesday is worse than originally believed. There are no definite details until he undergoes an MRI, but it doesn't look like a small thing. He'll be back Monday at this point. So that was before the Monday Night Raw. That was last Tuesday when he was quoted saying he's supposed to fight Matt Hardy there. And I think he sustained the injury when they were in Saudi Arabia. Or the night after as in Monday Night Raw as he still fought the same Lucha House Party. But that's just how that went. So that was that. Okay, now going back to Joey Janela. Joey Janela and also the entertainment of comedy wrestling. And yes, that is Pina Colada, and that's Joey Ryan's theme song, as he's a part of the comedy wrestling movement. He is the king of dong style himself. And Orange Cassidy, Joey Janela is another person that is also on All Elite Wrestling. He's the only person that I named there that is on All Elite Wrestling that might bring that comedy stuff in. And that's just a thing that you're going to have to get used to it, because this is a guy, Joey Janela, I just recently watched him wrestle an invisible man. And I know this happened a long time ago. I think it's happened in like early 2018. He, at his Joey Janela's beach party, he had this match. He was going to have another match with him in a one-hour Iron Man match. And then he ended up saying that, oh, the invisible man is dead, as he made a little press conference about that too. But this is a guy, if you go to YouTube, type in Joey Janela versus the Invisible Man, and it's actually a very good match. If you're trying to learn how to do wrestling, this is a great match to do so. This is a great match to this is what he does, this is what that. It's hilarious. I think it's like 20 minutes, 24 minutes, but it's very, very entertaining, and I do recommend watching it. I had a great laugh at it, and it's fun. It has Spot Fest in it, which is pretty hilarious, and you'd think you wouldn't as you're fighting yourself, that wouldn't actually happen. And the last before thing ever, by the way, just keep watching Joey Janela's stuff. I'm glad he's at All Elite Wrestling. At All In, he had his cigarette. He smokes. It's not really I don't think it's actual cigarette he brings into the thing, but Jimmy Havoc stapled it to his head, which was actually very interesting. But as we have 1 minute left here on the Slam Time, as one thing that is very important to wrestling and wrestling promoters and just anything in the wrestling business is support your independent wrestling. Here in Kansas City, there is a wrestling promotion called KCXW, as they have a website and everything. Go support them. They have shows. It's very local talent, Kansas City-based people, around the area people. Very, very entertaining, and it's just something that's just why not? Support your independent wrestling, as that's what's growing right now. It's one of the big hottest things right now at this time, as they have all those wrestling wars. And I mean, we're in a wrestling war right now. The wrestling industry keeps striving, it keeps getting better, and support your independent wrestling. As this was the very first Slam Time here, as I'm Kramer Sansone, and I thoroughly enjoy you listening, and come back again next time we have another podcast.